And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Actually, I'm not here with you. Where am I now? I must be in Germany or something. Well, I'm not in Germany now when I'm recording this, but I'm in Germany now when you're hearing me. But that doesn't matter because I'll be in Denmark tonight on the radio show. You know, I'm just going to take this part out because it's too confusing. Basically, here's a recording that we made on Christmas Eve of 2010, where Kyle and I were in a suburban part of Copenhagen in Denmark. Actually, it's probably even further than suburban. It's probably a whole different area in the country out in Denmark. We're visiting a couple of friends of ours, Joachim and Jessica. Joachim actually is from Denmark. Jessica is from the United States. And they've gotten married and have faced a whole bunch of challenges as a result. Joachim trying to get citizenship in the United States, Jessica trying to get citizenship in Denmark, and facing all kinds of challenges as a result. What we're doing at this point is discussing the financial obligation that you need to have when somebody comes to the United States. You have to have a sponsor, you have to have somebody that's willing to pay for anything that you do for the next 10 years. And I mean anything you do for the next 10 years. And it really gets kind of absurd and crazy after a while. I think we're under a misconception that it's easy when you get married to just simply give people citizenship of other countries. Well, guess what? It's not. And now, Off the Wall goes to Denmark.
Is that what they have in mind when they say be financially responsible for 10 years? Any possible scenario you have to be... Because you could download some songs maybe and be sued for tens of millions of dollars by the Recording Industry of America, and then her parents would have to be responsible for that.
I guess so. I guess it's
Yeah, you didn't know that. Oh, that could happen too.
Yeah.
Do you listen to music? Yeah. You see, so it's a definite risk.
I think or whatever other crime. I mean, if somebody committed a crime, they guess they'll be responsible. If you get caught in anything, I mean. I just thought the whole system was ludicrous because we came into the embassy, we talked to the first lady at the thing, and we said, we want to know if there's anything. You talked about the affidavit of support.
Yeah.
You said, I want to know about this stuff, and I want to know about this stuff, and the lady kept on pushing us and said, afterwards, you're gonna know afterwards. When you go to the next window and talk to the next guy, that's when you're going to know. But by the way, you have to pay $300 before you go to the next window.
Yeah, I think the more frustrating thing is, had we known this all ahead of time, or if there was someone answering the questions, but the whole process of going to the embassy, window number one, turn in this form, window number two, turn in this form. Oh, by the way, there's 10 forms for a simple little thing.
Yeah, and then we had questions regarding the affidavit support. We had questions regarding if it was actually feasible to get this before we wanted to pay the $300 to find out if... I mean, our situation, you could have some standard questions to go through, given our situation, could this be possible to get residency? And they could answer this already, before we paid the $300. So basically, we paid $300 for nothing.
And a lot of people probably do that.
I would guess so, yeah.
Now, the second thing that my dad said when they were going over tooth and nail on every piece of fine print possible... The bigger thing is, my dad's like, how do all these immigrants get here? That, I mean, the U.S. is full of immigrants, and they don't really look too well off. So who are they getting sponsored by and such? I mean, wow. We didn't figure it'd be so difficult. My relatives really laugh and say...
The country's founded by immigrants. I don't know why you're so afraid of immigrants.
Well, it's changed over recent years, obviously. It used to be a lot more open, and Statue of Liberty was there with their arms and open to everybody. And it's not like that... as much anymore. Now, that's Chloe we're listening to right now. She has no problem, right?
No, she has no problem. She's going to be a dual citizen, so she's going to be the lucky one.
So Joachim is a Danish citizen, Jessica is an American citizen, and you two got married, just to complicate things with everybody. And now...
Complicated even further, we had a daughter.
And what country was she born in?
She was born in Denmark.
Okay, well, that makes it simple. Now, Jessica, you got deported.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about this?
Where do I begin? Well,
where did you get deported from?
Denmark.
Okay.
Which is the most liberal country on earth, I feel. So I came here. We wanted to get married. First, I needed a paperwork that said that I wasn't married and not running away from a marriage in the United States. Simple enough. You write to your state capital and... I had misfilled out that form by not putting my birth date on the bottom. But this is a big form, okay? My birth date was on there, as well as they could have just called me and asked me. But they didn't. They took their sweet time in sending a letter back with my money back, because that was $20. saying that I need to refill it out again. This actually took 2 or 3 months just to get this piece of paper. We need that paper to get married here. It took too late, but we finally got it. We got married. The wedding date that we sent for the commune, the nearest date that we could have gotten married in the commune, which is City Hall.
Yeah, City Hall is a commune.
Commune.
Wow. The Tea Party's right about you guys. So your City Hall is actually a commune.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, no, go on, go on.
Both of those sound a little
common. Yeah, it's
a commune. I don't even think about that anymore, though. Now words are just words.
Oh, we think about that all the time back home. We do.
So we got married by the mayor, and but that was the day after my tourist visa expired. You have 90 days to visit any EU country. They take it all together within a year as an American citizen. Didn't think it was a problem, but they could obviously see by the marriage certificate and my passport that was the day after. Filled out the paperwork. We didn't hear anything, so we were wondering, like, months later, when I'm going to get my citizenship. I need a social security card if I wanted to get a job, go to school, do anything.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So waited, didn't hear anything. He calls and says, "Well, haven't we heard anything?" They say, "You need to call the police." Well, now that's a little strange.
Yeah.
Why would we call the police, not immigration, for the result?
And then basically the woman said on the telephone that you only had to call the police if there was a rejection.
Yeah.
So you could put 2 and 2 together, I guess.
So we called the police. They said you're rejected and that anyone could come knocking on the door to deport you. So I bought my ticket for 2 weeks out. I mean, because...
Yeah, 1 week after, I think, you were on the plane.
Yeah.
When we got
and
the rejection,
went home.
So we went home and...
And basically at home, restarted the whole process again.
Send everything again. Everything has to be sent again. All the paperwork that they already received. What makes matters worse, actually, I think that I was setting this whole thing up from the beginning, and I wanted to talk about the... I contacted the Danish immigration thing, and they said that, well, either way, you send the paperwork in or you come in person, that's gonna equal the same. And then afterwards, I found out that had we come in, Jessie would have received a stamp in her passport that says we're now processing your application. So you're entitled to stay in Denmark as long as we're processing the application. They just failed to inform me that before we started.
So by not going in, that meant that she had to leave the country?
You can sum it up to that. By not going in and have the little stamp in the passport meant that we chose to file it in by mail, and that pretty much was the reason that she was deported.
But how we didn't know. Obviously
we didn't know.
We've been more than willing to go in.
Yeah, we have to go into the immigration. We have to stand in line and talk to somebody. But it would have been well worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, in order for her to stay those 2 months that she was deported.
It was very demoralizing to be married and to move after your wedding, basically, move back into your parents' house, get a part-time job at Walmart, because I didn't know how long I'd be sitting at my parents' house. And It took 3 months, which was the minimum time, because Joachim did a good job of harassing the immigration people by calling every day. Like, oh, that guy again. You know, calling about his wife. So they processed it faster just because you harassed them.
Yeah, they did. And then the lady that was actually processing our case was a foreigner as well. So I think she had sympathy for our case, I guess, more than mostly others would,
and
I guess. I don't know.
3 months to the day, pretty much.
She did it very fast.
I got my passport back. And
so how long did it take for Jessica to get her citizenship from the moment she started in Denmark?
Well, she never got a citizenship. She just got a residency.
I mean,
oh, just residency. Okay.
Yeah,
are you shooting for citizenship?
Well, of course, yeah. But I'm on my green card, essentially.
But you're not going to get...
It's the same as the U.S. 7 years.
I know, but you're not going to get a citizenship unless you resign your American citizenship.
Oh,
they don't accept dual citizenship. So either you
Does
are...
Does Denmark not accept dual citizenship?
I think it's both.
Hmm.
Maybe if the United States turned a blind eye to...
Then we'll have a difficult decision.
Yeah, but you can get... I think the only difference is you cannot vote. I mean... Well,
as far as being a U.S. citizen?
No, if you get a full-time residency, like a permanent residency
I'm
in Denmark...
I'm a permanent resident now.
You're not a permanent resident now. You're a temporary resident for 2 years.
Then
you have to reapply again, which should be a formality unless our situation changed completely. Mm-hmm. Or then you're gonna redo that 3 times,
pretty
four
much.
Times.
Yeah.
And then after 7 years, you can get a permanent residency, which is pretty much the same right as a Danish citizen, except you can vote. So
my goodness, this doesn't even take into account what you're trying to do in the United States.
No.
And where do you stand as far as that pursuit of residency or citizenship or whatever?
Actually, we kind of given up on it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, for now at least, because, I mean, we don't have the income right now, so we'll be able to put some kind of proof or some kind of big number up front to show that we're financial.
If we saved up enough money that I could work in the U.S. but you wouldn't work, you could just sit there as a tourist.
Or maybe.
For
yeah.
me, if we're working for a year, then I'll get my income proof.
But later on when you get a job in Denmark and we both have full-time jobs, then maybe.
The whole reason this got started, honestly, is because my dad has cancer. Mm-hmm. In February they said, well, maybe he has a year to live. So immediately it's like, oh my God, I'm halfway across the world. So I said, can we go to the U.S., you know? And then so yeah, why don't we move there for a year? And, you know, ultimately, of course, we want to live in Denmark, but it'd be a good time to spend with my dad and such, and he can see his granddaughter and everything. So it was just going to be a temporary thing.
Yeah, it was never meant as a permanent thing. But
now, if you can't get a job, I mean, we're not going to live at my parents' house for a year. And
no.
Not with a baby. And
so right now, we're looking at 2 months, because I have a 3-month visa, a tourist visa,
mm-hmm.
and now we have to just go on the summer holiday between work
yeah,
or school or whatever.
If they said, oh, he will just automatically hand him a citizenship thing in 7 years, then it's kind of like, well, thanks, because my dad's gone, and the whole point of going there was to be with him, so.
So the maximum amount of time you can spend there is 2 months?
3 months.
3 months. And then what do you have to do after that?
Then you have to leave the country for 3 months.
For another 3 months, you leave the country, and then you go back for 3 more months.
You go back. So 3 months away, 3 months there.
But and they can make an exception for a situation like this?
Yes, they can. You could apply to the American Embassy for an extended tourist visa if you want.
Hmm. But the problem. But I think the problem is, I mean, either we go there for a year and I try to get a job, whatever I can get in the United States, and then we stay there for a while, or we go for a short time so I can fit it in between a job in Denmark. I mean, either way,
yeah.
We can't do it halfway, because, I mean, I cannot have a job in Denmark and not have a job in the United States. I mean,
yeah.
We still have to pay the bills at home.
Exactly.
So that doesn't work out.
Well, there's a lot of strange things you guys are experiencing. I mean, we think that if you get married, that's the end of it, that you can simply go where your husband or wife lives and live with them, but you guys have gone through a lot just to be together.
What I hear is that, you know, you guys, there's all this invasive stuff just to simply live and be normal, like, you know, and do things by the book. You're very, very well versed in what each of these countries are trying to enforce, and you're respectful. You've educated yourselves. You've even made mistakes, owned up to it, and gone back and fixed it. And all you're doing is having a relationship and being a loving family, right? You have a child, you know, there's absolutely nothing but like a healthy relationship flourishing and beginning here. You have your whole lives, and it seems like both countries put a lot of impediments in front of you and make it really impossible. And to that end, I just wonder, you know, where they're really going with it. As far as you know, the long term. I mean, you guys met, I believe, like online, right? So this is something that I think that, you know, as we get into like a smaller and smaller planet, these countries have sort of archaic bureaucratic mentalities, and as we get to be like a smaller planet, people are meeting in unconventional ways because we have the ability to see someone across the planet, right, and chat with them, or to conference, or, you know, or even like air travel. You're able to travel and meet someone and fall in love, and perfectly normal, perfectly natural thing. It's just not on a steamboat that takes, you know, 4 months to get across the Atlantic, right? You can do it in a couple hours, and before you know it, you know, you've met and decided to have a life with someone in you know, less than a year or several years. I mean, the sped up nature of all this and the fact that we can be a global people, it just seems like they're really these countries that we are from, like our home, is making it like impossible. It's sort of like an impediment to sort of this future that we're living into, where, you know, we are able to associate and be like more global. It's really sad to hear. You're just being incredibly normal, like just a couple, like trying to build a family, and it just seems really, really difficult at every turn. So I really applaud your efforts. It's very, you know, inspiring to hear your story. I just hope they catch up at the times and sort of update this.
Now, is there any indication that you guys have that if you were of a different nationality or different ethnic background, things would be even more difficult for you?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, when I went to computer science school, I went to an international class, and we had a lot of people from all over the world, and we had some from Turkey. And those people, they had really hard time getting visas just to go to Denmark. And so when they were in Denmark, they were skipping school a lot of times to travel around Europe. Went to Paris, they went to Spain, they went to Italy, all over the place. And I was talking to them, I was saying, like, why do you travel? Why do you go nuts? And then they say, you know what, when we're in Denmark, we can travel around all over the place however we wanted to. But when we're in Turkey, we have to apply 3 months ahead, 4 months ahead, sometimes even more, just to get a visa, and then it might get rejected.
And of course I'm glad that I'm from the U.S. because in my language school, I meet a lot of immigrants that's like, I'll never see my mom again. Why? Because I'm from the Middle East and I'm not allowed back in my country. You know, if I come back to my country, I could be killed. And my mom can't leave the country because then, you know, she could never come back to her, you know. And I don't have that situation. My parents can come visit whenever they want. I can go home whenever I want. I don't have to apply for special visas. And
I just wanted to apply for some, maybe they can make some special circumstances. I mean, it's not that we wanted to go to U.S. and just live there and stay there forever. We just want to stay there for a while and stay with just his family, and then we want to go home again. So maybe they can make some, I mean, it's either all or nothing. I mean, it's either the long-term residency or it's nothing.
Well, we went through this whole, I mean, thing that we're talking about is a family reunification visa. Of course, there's other visas involved. There's work visas. But Joachim doesn't have any doctorate or nursing or anything that's required right now. And B, as far as getting a job that would sponsor him, we're in the big recession. They're not even hiring Americans. Why are they going to hire foreign people?
Having to go to these extremes, I feel like the system is not serving you. So I really applaud your efforts. It's really interesting to hear.
Dyrk lige vores monsterudvalg af fyrværkeri hos T. Hansen. Den 27. og 28. december sælger vi Danmarks billigste heksehyl. 50 styk for kun 95 øre. Husk kun 3 pakker per kunde. Eller hvad med, nu skal du satme bare til løjer og kæmpe batterier fra kun 59,95. Med mere end 130 salgsteder i hele landet, er du altid tæt på et skrald billig krudt. Se mere i vores store fyrværkerikatalog eller på thansen.dk. Så kører det for dig.
Nu kommer Killers på DVD og Blu-ray.
Sweetie, you're gonna show it.
Oplev Catherine Heigl og Aston Kutcher i Killers.
Surprise!
Som giver dig humor, action.
Who do you work for?
Let's just say that I work for the blah, 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 and they gave me a license to blah.
Og romantik.
I will keep you safe.
How? It's over, Spence.
Killers. Køb eller lej den hos din lokale videoklubforhandler.
Well, so, when you first came to Denmark, what were your impressions of the place? I want you to also tell us about the things that you can't get here, because our listeners need to know this. You can't get Tootsie Rolls here, for one thing, and this, I've made it my personal responsibility to try to fix that, but there are so many other things. But what other culture shock did you encounter?
The first thing was walking into the doors. I mean,
literally walking into
glass doors. Because
is that a problem of yours, or just?
It was just a problem for me because in the U.S. you push the door open when you're exiting a building. The door opens, swings out to the street. But here you had to pull the door. So you can imagine I'm pushing and pushing and pushing, and that door is not going anywhere. And then I feel like an idiot, and then people are looking at me like, why didn't she just pull it open? There's no sign that says pull, you know?
Well, why is that? Why do they pull here instead of push?
Because the fire code in the U.S. says that if there's an exit, you have to be able to push the door open out into the street so that people can exit efficiently. But
I think it's also because of these narrow little streets.
Many of the
streets in Copenhagen and one of these older cities, they have very narrow little streets, so all the stores are facing out towards the little street, and if you swing the door, maybe you swing them into people. I don't know.
That's true. Very narrow sidewalk. You would take out a few people. Perhaps. That's an idea, but why is it like that out where we live in the country where there's not these?
Still narrow streets.
All right. Well, you obviously got over the doors. You got past that. What else what did you encounter coming here the first time?
I'm not too well with the food because they're a very seafood, well, I mean, they're islands, okay? And I live in the Midwest, and basically about as far away as you can get from an ocean unless you live in interior Russia. So
you're from Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, yes. So I don't like fish and seafood, and that's the basis of their diet here. I miss sugar. I have a sweet tooth.
You miss sugar? They don't have sugar here?
Oh, they have sugar, but they don't use it.
Really?
Nothing.
They use it, just not to the same extent.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no corn syrup.
There's no corn syrup. Well, okay, I can live without corn syrup. That's not healthy. But I mean, like, your candy is, like, sugarless. Really? Yeah. The licorice.
Well, maybe our candy is just crazy sugar full.
Well, that's how I feel, at least. Yeah.
That's true, but then I'm still a child at heart because I miss my nerds and my airheads and my other...
I miss my nerds and airheads, too, but I'll see them again soon.
And all those, I mean, think about Smarties, it's just pure sugar in a little tablet form.
And like a maid, right? The little packets with the sugar sticks
you
that you dip in the sugar.
You eat the stick. You use the stick. Have you seen these? I have to explain these to him. Okay, it's sugar in a pouch, and you lick a stick, and but then you can eat the stick when you're done.
That's
it's like
really awful.
It's like instead of using a spoon to eat your sugar, you use sugar to eat your sugar.
No, my sister and I loved the... It's called Lick-A-Maid.
Yeah.
And it's like these paper packets, and you get 3 flavors of sugar, and then a stick, or like 2 sticks, uh-huh. And it's all a big paper wrapper. And then so you rip open the one wrapper, and you get your sugar stick, and then you rip open whatever flavor sugar dip you want, and you dip the sugar stick in the sugar powder.
Right, so far, what I'm getting is that you're walking into doors and you have sugar deficiency. I'm not sure if these are related, but you all. What else? When you got to Denmark the first time, the people, the culture, the attitude.
I think some of the things that shocked me is it's pretty standard here to have the baby and then get married.
Ooh.
So, like when we had the baby, they're like, "You're married." Yeah, we're married. Yeah, hello. And when I got too fat to wear my wedding ring, then I very clearly put it around my neck because I didn't want to, I don't know, I just felt slightly ashamed. I guess there shouldn't be anything wrong with that because I'm not religious, but Yeah, it's pretty standard to have the baby first, and they're very liberal on some other things. They don't call doctors doctors. They just say, "Hey, Mike." Hey,
wow.
John.
Really?
Yeah, he goes to his doctor. Your doctor's name is Soren.
Yeah.
Soren. Hey, Soren.
But we had a long discussion about that. It's not being disrespectful. And even the doctor, I mean, if the doctor had a problem with it, he would say it. But
I know.
It's
but
just it's the whole informality.
And your teachers, too, in elementary school, I don't know my teacher's first name.
Little kids call their teachers by their first names?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, but
that's
respect
really cool.
is gone, at least as far as doctors go. I think you should respect doctors. Maybe everyone...
You respect them just the same, just by calling the first name.
Okay. I mean, you can't be liberal in one thing and not in another, but I am old school in my thinking that you should say doctor. Call him Dr. Soren, and then, you know? Hey, Dr. John, or Dr.
He would stare at me in disbelief.
But he is a doctor. I mean, he
but
did go to school.
It's just normal here.
Do you call policemen officer, or just by their first name?
I don't know. Good God. But there are no police here. I feel there are no police.
It's like Dr. Nick on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Yeah, but they call him doctor.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, they call him doctor.
No, I mean, it is. It's like a habit. You know, you're used to saying doctor. That would be very strange for me to be brought up one way. You know, you never call a doctor by their first name or teachers, especially, or family friends, right?
Well, speaking of doctors, you have health care here that you do not have in the United States.
Yeah.
And as an American... What difference did you notice right away?
Well, I like it and I don't. I mean, it's certainly nice that things are free and I can just go to the doctor when I feel like it and get checked up on whatever I need. And, yeah, I mean, there's no downside to free health care, is there? But I do feel like at least the hospital that that I gave birth in was a little old. Looks a little communist. A little communist. I know
Denmark was never a communist country.
But
they import the hospital from somewhere?
No, but I see communist to describe like the dark, cold, concrete, dull lighting, creepy...
Like Stony Brook, where we broadcast from.
Maybe, better. but
very Stalinist architecture.
In talking with my friends and in talking with his family, they're like, okay, maybe the building was a little creepy and old, but you did get health care and everything was perfect and all your needs are taken care of. So it's not like I was going to die just because they had bad lighting in the building. So
they have modern equipment.
Oh, yeah. Modern equipment.
It's just because it's
just the aesthetic.
Yeah.
The aesthetic of it. So
he gave birth in Roskilde, which is a very old city. Actually, it was the country's capital once.
Did you choose to go to the hospital, or were you commanded to by the death squads that run the healthcare, or whatever they call it?
Death panels.
Death panels.
Yeah, the death panels told me I would know. You can choose your hospital, but why would I choose to drive further? I mean, unless I had a serious problem with the nearby one. That's the closest one, so, yeah.
And it's half an hour drive, so just for the record.
But we do live out in the middle of nowhere, for the record. I call it the boonies.
So, you know, I'm always trying to figure this out. How do other countries do this, where you have... free health care for all your citizens, and I believe education. Not only is education free, is this true? You actually get paid to go to school?
That is indeed true, yeah.
It just keeps getting worse for us. Tell us, what's the secret? What do you do that we don't do?
We have 43% tax. That's the tax rate that we have.
Aha, okay. That's something that I'm sure some Tea Partiers might have something to say about. 43% tax. Well, actually, you know, what's our tax rate? It's something like 30-something, right?
I have to say it starts with 43, and then as you earn more, then it goes all the way up to 60, which we call top tax, which is basically as high as it gets.
So basically it means you can't become immensely wealthy easily.
You can become very wealthy, and a lot of Danish companies are actually doing very well, but you have to pay the 60% tax unless you find some tax haven in some other country or something, But, I mean, you can become fairly rich. There's a lot of rich people, but 60% follow the very rich. I think it's above 500,000 Danish crowns, which would be the equivalent to $100,000. That's when you pay top tax.
Okay. Well, I mean, we say that it might be hard to become extremely rich, but the prices that are charged here in Denmark and we saw in Sweden and Norway, they're simply incredible as far as Americans are concerned. We paid $50 for a couple of drinks the other day, $80 for lunch with two hamburgers and two drinks. So it's culture shock for Americans.
I want to go back to that tax thing and put that in perspective. $100,000 in America, and that being the top tax tier here, I find that a little laughable because we're talking about taxing the rich, and that's people over $250,000. So, and that's not a huge tax hike, you know, for people that have that much money. That's like more than double, and, you know, maybe the top 1-2% of the American populace. But at any rate, they would go crazy if they got taxed at 60%.
They don't go nearly as crazy as the people in the middle class. For some reason, people in the middle class object more to rich people being taxed than rich people themselves. Maybe because they think one day they too will be rich and they don't want to be taxed, but it's really absurd how people who would benefit the most are the ones who object the most.
I completely agree with you. You're absolutely spot on with that. But they would go crazy, be that as it may. But that's a whole other issue. I you're absolutely spot on with that. But I think that's really funny to hear $100,000 taxed at 60%. That's just absolutely bizarre to me because we can't handle a minute tax increase for people that make over $250,000. And yes, it is mostly middle class people, and then they think someday, you know, they'll be mega millionaires, which, you know, is likely, but, you know, good luck.
It's because they believe in something that I couldn't find any Danish person believe in called trickle-down economics. I mean, are you kidding me? Hello? But, you got to fact-check me on this, but I think what I heard in the news is when we're talking about the $250,000, the Bush tax cuts, had they expired, the rich people would have gone from 35% to 39%.
Heaven forbid, really.
I think that's what I heard. I could be wrong.
So almost twice as much here for a much wider a populace because, you know, when you talk about masses of people, you know, the difference between making $100,000 a year and $250,000 a year, that's a lot of people. When you go down to 100,000, you're talking a much broader. I mean, that's like you open it up to a lot of people, right? It's that pyramid, right? There's way fewer people up at the 1-2%, but when you get down to 100,000, maybe it's like 5%. I don't know. I'm not an economist and I'm not an expert on this at all, but absolutely. Like, it's nearly twice as much percentage-wise. I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't know off the top of my head. It just sounded so bizarre to hear 60.
Back to when you asked me what I first thought when I came to Denmark, I thought that every single Danish person is exactly the same. I mean, they literally have no disparity between poor people, rich people. I feel like everyone is the same here. Even down to, in the very beginning, I went nuts when I went over to people's houses because they own the same things. They have the same wine rack that we have. They have the same dishes we have. They have the same little thing that you put on the side of the stove to put your hot pots on. You know, like the little hot pot thing. They have the same water kettle. They have the same painting that we have. That's Paul Tava, by the way.
It's kind of spooky. What's up with this? Why is everybody having the same thing?
I think there's only that many Danish companies that make, silverware and pots and pans and whatever, and people just...
I just noticed people eat the same kind of pretzels, but this seems to go a lot deeper than that.
No, I feel like it's really deep, and I feel like on a deep level, like everyone's house is exactly the same here.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. Americans have a corner on that market where all the houses look exactly the same. Here I see some variation in architecture, at least.
On the outside, but on the inside, all the stuff is the same.
Wow, we have to go into some more houses tonight. Yeah, let's knock on some neighbors' doors and see. Well, it must make shopping very easy because you don't have any choice. You just can go out and get the only one.
Where I lost my mind in the beginning, yeah, is in the grocery store. You know, I wanted to have like 10 kinds of peanut butter. I wanted to have, you know, 20 kinds of cereal. But I guess at least now I realize it's all superficial. Do you really need like half low-fat yogurt? Do you need the 1%, 1.5%, 2%, 3% yogurts? Or can you just settle with 2% or skim? Yeah.
But in the States, we have a choice between, you know, Chips Ahoy and soggy, moist Chips Ahoy with Snicker flavor and whipped cream on top. And it takes up an entire aisle, all the different micro changes in these huge, massive products.
It's not necessary, but it's not necessary, and I know that now, but in the beginning, when you've lived this lifestyle of choosing 100 different things and having your exact favorite, to going to just the normal spaghetti sauce then.
So now some of the other things that were missing when you came here that you noticed, that just, if you could run through really quickly.
Well, I was vegetarian, so beans was a big thing. There's no black beans and there's no pinto beans for refried beans. So you can go to ethnic markets now, I think, and get those, but I miss that. And lots of candy and condensed soup, Campbell soup. They do have a new thing in the supermarket, however, that is an American section where I can pay like $5 for a can of Campbell's condensed soup. Root beer. Oh my God, they don't have root beer.
Really?
I love root beer. But they think it's medicine here. They think it's medicine. He tasted it and he said, "Are you drinking cough syrup?" And I said, "Oh, but I love it."
Tastes like mouthwash or something. I don't know.
Yeah, really, I really love root beer. And cream soda. You
but
like cream soda.
Granted, there is a lot of stuff in the United States that is cool, but I guess it's a matter of perspective, because when we went to Walmart, I went crazy, you know. There's
so much
stuff. But growing up here and not knowing all that stuff, you don't really know what you're missing.
No, you can't miss root beer if you never had it before.
No, exactly. And you can't miss Sierra Mist or whatever you're into. I mean, you can miss stuff that you don't know about, but then again, when you find out, it's cool.
You have plenty of fast food outlets, American fast food outlets, I've noticed, all over the place. McDonald's, Burger King, KFC.
I think those are pretty much it. You pretty much summed it up. We have Kentucky Fried Chicken, we have Burger King, we have Domino's Pizza, and we have McDonald's, and I think...
Oh, Domino's, you do have...
We have Domino's.
Domino's
pizza
is different here, though.
How so?
I don't know. It's not how I remember Domino's. And you can't... Can you just order a whole pizza, or do you have to buy it by the slice?
No, you order a whole pizza.
Oh, okay.
It's only because you...
They don't deliver it, though, that's for sure.
Wait, Domino's doesn't deliver?
They do deliver.
In Roskilde?
They
do in Roskilde. I saw
the
little guy on the scooter.
You know what they do all over the place.
I forget because my perspective, I got to put the disclaimer out there. My perspective of Denmark is living in the boonies. I bet you if I went to Copenhagen, Copenhagen is an entirely different experience because Copenhagen's metropolitan and they probably have everything. But this is rural, like farm, like, actually we have a castle and a farm right over the other corner.
Well, I just wanted to let you continue about the expensive, because you're talking about like $5 for a can of soup, you know, just a niche. Yeah, exactly. Like they've got these niche things for people that do want the American ingredients. And you were talking with me a little bit about some of your culinary exploits, because, you know, you bring recipes over and a lot of recipes call for ingredients that aren't, I don't want to say processed because that could take on a different meaning, but there's like ingredients that are prepared in a certain way that give your recipe a certain element, and shortening for like baking and then, you know, many other things, like we were talking about cream of, like a... Yeah, condensed soups like cream of mushroom and all that stuff. I remember my mom making stuff, and you know, all the time she's, you know, pulling these things out, and the recipe either calls for it or calls for something like it. And a lot of times these products come in handy when you're trying to whip something up, and it does, like, you know, it helps speed up a recipe. But I don't know, E, you're talking about the expense. I mean, we've seen a lot of expensive products. I mean, even when we were cooking a little bit, you know, we were really discerning when we went through the grocery store to try to pick out things that weren't too crazily priced or too, you know, just ridiculous. I mean, some things there were deals, and then other things you had to be wary of.
Yeah, eggs were a good deal, but I did see a $10 candy bar.
Yeah, eggs were a great deal. Like beer, we initially thought...
Oh, that was a sad story. Very sad story.
Yeah, this was in Tromso. We looked at the beer section, and they have interesting alcohol. You know, there's hours and stuff for when you can buy alcohol. And beer in particular, we were looking and said, oh, it was like, what, it's 20...
The equivalent of about $3.50 for a six-pack, and I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, we were going to drink beer the whole time and just, you know, have a six-pack and be... hapless drunks. But what happened is we realized, we turned around and there was a rack of loose bottles of various types of other beer that was imported, you know, brands like Red Stripe, if I can say it.
Budweiser.
Yes, and, well, Budweiser was in the cooler.
It's imported.
Right, but some of the other imported ones, we realized they were loose, and we looked at the prices on those, and they were identical per bottle. So what we realized is the six packs were, arranged and packaged in packages of six. But it was, you know, 30 kroner, or it was kroners up in Tromsø, per can. So what we were looking at is you know, like $20 for a six-pack.
Over $20, for, all of a sudden it didn't become a good deal anymore.
Yeah. So that's just kind of the nuances of, you know, navigating the grocery store and picking out things so that you can get by, you know, because essentially, you know, when you're living and you have a home and you're trying to cook and do things economically, you have to make those kinds of choices, and you don't even realize the expense, especially in places like Norway and where it is much more expensive. Stockholm wasn't so bad, and I would say Denmark's been reasonable. We found great deals.
Well, when you say Stockholm wasn't
casual traveler,
when you say Stockholm wasn't so bad, it's well, we got better. We got better at pay, but we still had that $50 drink thing that we got two drinks and $50 because we figured out what it cost. And you spend a lot of time looking at receipts and saying, "Oh my God, did I really just spend that for this?" And it's a bit of culture shock, but you do wind up getting better at it and finding the cheap things.
You do get amused going through the grocery store when you find American-style peanut butter made in Ireland or real Canadian maple syrup from Vermont. Stuff like that. It can be really amusing. Sometimes I just find these random, like, bargain bin thing. They have this thing in the grocery store where they just throw random stuff. Oh, there's no organization. There's no aisle for dairy or aisle for dry goods. It's just wherever they can cram it.
It's always mayhem in the supermarkets everywhere in Europe. People running into each other, and the grocery carts have all four wheels turn, so they can do all kinds of maneuvers.
Yeah, and they have you seen the what they call Barnavon, which is the strollers, the baby carriages? They're massive. They're tanks. So you get one of those coming. You have this tiny little, you know, maybe 10-pound baby and like a 20-ton tank. It's like they could survive, you know, World War II.
It's training for driving an SUV later on.
I guess so. But they bring those into the grocery store, and there's no chance of passing that in the aisle. Those women get, maybe they do that so they get the aisle to themselves.
Okay, I have to bring this up, and I want to know if either of you have noticed this. Kyle and I noticed it first in Stockholm, but we noticed it a bit here in Copenhagen as well, or in Denmark in general. We're walking down the street, all right, minding our own business, and all of a sudden there's somebody right behind you, like practically touching you, tailgating completely. And just these people pop up out of nowhere, and it's just like immediately they're very close, and you have to pull over and let them pass by. But it's just a style of walking that I've never seen anywhere else.
I think that I think it's a big city thing, actually. I mean, I've noticed that in Copenhagen as well, but I don't think so much down here where we live in the countryside. I think it's a big city thing in a way that probably New Yorkers feel about tourists. I mean, get out of the way. We just want to get from A to B as fast as possible.
Well, we will say, get out of the way. We want to get there.
But I think Danish people, we don't.
We noticed that because we were walking in the bike lane in Stockholm, and all these bikes were coming up to us and just sort of almost hitting us, but never saying anything.
No, they won't say anything. And if you, for example, I always feel like I'm really outgoing, or my mom especially, being Midwestern and super friendly when she came to visit. If she bumps into someone or something, she's like, "Oh, excuse me," and, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and she'll say sorry like five times. They're not going to say they're sorry if they bump into you, because it's implied. You could see I did it accidentally, so why do I need to say it? That's kind of like the attitude, you know? And it's true. It's right. You're right. They are not being rude per se, but I guess maybe in friendly Midwest it would be considered rude.
You don't say excuse me either. We were in a movie theater, and I noticed when people needed to get from one side of the theater to the other, passing in front of you, they would just go right up to you, and you have to move your feet out of the way by the time they got there. They wouldn't say, "Excuse me, I'm coming through," or anything like that.
Non-confrontational. They don't really like to talk to strangers, but I wouldn't say that, because if you start talking to a stranger, they'll be more than friendly and open up to you, but it's kind of like you got to get past that initial barrier. Yeah. It's not that they're not friendly, and it's not that they have anything against you. It's just, get past the barrier, and then they'll be your best friend. But it's your best friend or complete stranger.
I think it's very Danish to in a way, keep to yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, that, and I don't think that's such a good thing, because, I mean, that's one of the things I like about going to the U.S. and meeting American people, is I feel that Americans are more outgoing, just like Jesse said. I mean, if you meet somebody in Denmark and you get to talk to them, of course they're going to be friendly and nice to you, and people are open. But it's the initial thing. I mean, you don't just sit down in the train or in the bus and start talking to somebody.
Yeah, and I do.
You would consider a freak if you did that. I mean, people would look at strange.
I am kind of a freak. I'm a very outgoing person. That's part of being American. But I do notice something that in Copenhagen and big cities, this doesn't count. But if in a smaller city, when you pass someone on the sidewalk, you say hi, right? You just say hi when they pass you. They don't do that here. I smile at people, and they still kind of look at me. But then I almost feel refreshed in a way. Like, I feel like the burden is off my shoulders. I don't have to say hi if I don't want to anymore. And that's kind of cool, too. No, because in the Midwest, I say hi to everyone on the sidewalk. It doesn't matter. I'd be rude not to. But here, I just say hi if I feel like it.
I felt the same kind of culture shock going from New York once I went to Virginia. Yeah. And those people were doing that. And it kind of freaked me out because in New York, we don't do that.
Yeah, but you couldn't in New York. There's too many people. You'd be saying hi until your throat ran dry. But it's a small town thing. And I would feel like upstate New York, probably, right?
Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's people are still friendly. People still care. They'll mm-hmm. take care of you if you're in some kind of crisis. It's yeah. just that outward appearance.
Yeah, it is just an outward appearance. Because if you did break the barrier, and I'm very, very unshy person, so I would just start talking to the person next to me in the train. And once I start talking to them, they're more than happy to talk back. It's just they didn't want to break that initial...
What's that lifestyle thing called that you guys have here in Denmark?
Hyggelig.
And what does that mean?
I better not say it because my Danish is not going to say it there.
Oh, I think it was pretty good. It's hyggelig. And that pretty much means just like what we're doing now, having a good time.
We're hyggesammen.
Yeah, you're with friends and you're having a good time. Maybe you get something to drink, something to eat, you know, talk and socialize.
It means coziness, right?
It means coziness. I mean, I would go to...
There's no direct translation. I don't feel cozy really covers it now that
no,
I have
an
understanding.
No, there's no direct translation because it's not... No, I guess it's not really coziness.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be all sorts of things. I mean, what you have in the hacker conference, I would guess from what I've seen and pictures and in videos, I mean, that's
yeah.
what you're having fun. You're together and you're socializing, you're talking and... You're having a good time.
I would say
and all that stuff just combined in one word would be hyggelig.
Yeah. But one thing hyggelig is not like going crazy at a bar. Like
no,
just
it's
going,
not.
Wow,
no,
girl's
no.
gone wild, you know,
no.
which I tried explaining to you.
It's not. It's something, I mean, it's something peaceful, quiet, having a good time, and down to earth. Yeah,
inner
like,
happiness.
Yeah, kind of like you're just chilling out and you're having fun. That's
yeah.
contentment and
yeah.
gathering, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Inner happiness. That's. I think that really covers it well.
Yeah, I guess happiness with others. I think that. You
well,
can,
yeah, you can't be hoogly by
you
yourself.
You can be hoogly by yourself.
Okay.
You sit down. You have a blanket. You sit in front of the TV. Whatever.
That's
make
hoogly.
Yourself a cup
yeah.
of tea. That can be hoogly.
You can be hoogly by yourself.
You can be very hoogly by
but
yourself.
Hoogly.
I just wanted to say that.
Oh, but something I think is funny is sometimes translations. Did you notice all over the stores it says slut spurt?
Yeah, we thought that was pretty funny.
That cracks me up. That's just a quick sale. Or to relax is called slap a A. That's
okay.
So hey, you want to go slap a A or something? You know, that's kind of that struck me as funny.
I heard somebody once who went to Denmark and then he saw an elevator and it was one of those freight elevators, not carrying people,
mm-hmm.
and it's called a gus elevator in Danish, and then that spells G-O-D-S. And then elevator, the same way as you say. So he says, wow, this is God's elevator. And the funny part about that is it only went down. It didn't go up.
Well, we bought shaving cream in Norway, and it's called barber scum.
Yeah, Babesco. Yeah, that's right.
There's some cleaning products with names that are only one letter off of obscene things as well.
Yeah.
We're bringing a few bottles and containers back home.
Yeah, a silit bang.
Okay.
Bang.
Silage bang, let me just tell you, take out the eye, and it means something else. That one cracks me up every time I clean the house. I mean, I really have to laugh. I laugh every time I see silage bang.
People.
Yeah, there's a couple
and
other things.
You left a sign that says your speed.
Oh,
your speed
fart, yeah.
Speed fart?
No, not speed fart, Dean fart.
Dean fart, your fart.
Yeah, it means your speed.
Your speed.
The speed you're going. Fart means speed.
Fart means speed.
Fart means
you'll
speed.
Fart. You'll see on the roads it'll say fart.
It's pronounced fart, but yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's how it's spelled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's... But in reverse, in learning Danish, I say quite inappropriate things at times as well. I've said some things that didn't mean what they meant. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're learning the language.
Yeah. I think my biggest struggle is when it's hard to there's no actual words to be polite. There's no please word. There's no
I like this.
You like kind of words. They kind of just say it as it is.
No phony politeness.
Yeah, but if you can't say please, and you don't have the intonation right because you're barely fluent, and you don't have maybe the word choice right, then you sound rude, right? I mean, maybe I sound rude, but then I could cover it up with a please, and then they would look at me and be like, ah, immigrant, and they would know that I'm actually being polite. There are a couple of times that I didn't say talk, like I was in the store, and we were buying something, and I said, she said, would you like a bag? I said, nah, you know, but I guess I said it in a really rude way, and I didn't think so. I thought I was being nice, you know?
Yeah, we say talk after something. I mean, somebody asks you something, and you say, nah, talk, or yeah, talk. I mean, yes.
Many thank you.
Yeah, yes, thank you, or no, thank you.
And one time I just didn't say talk, and that was just crossed the line of really rude, and I didn't mean to.
It's just like if somebody, it would be the same in the U.S., I guess. If somebody asks you something, you say, would you like one of those? And then you say no.
But I thought I said it really nice. You know, it's the difference between I want and, oh, I would like, you know. You wouldn't, I guess some people go to a restaurant and say, give me this. You know, or you could say, I would like. But say you couldn't say that. Say you always said, gimme. Then you would say, gimme, please. I don't know. It's something I struggle with because the tonation's not the same.
Awesome. Any final thoughts or last words or advice for listeners interested in this place?
Well, come to Denmark and then check it out. Definitely. Maybe go to Copenhagen, I guess. if you're into
don't
the whole big city
Frilier
thing. Yeah, I mean, go to the countryside if you want to see the real Denmark, but Copenhagen is cool.
Oh, everyone says the real everything is always away from metropolitan, but
yeah,
that's not necessarily true when most of the city lives in their one metropolitan zone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's different lifestyles, obviously, in country and in the city.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it is. Copenhagen people are way different to countryside people. The way that they even go about their daily life and then the daily business. I mean, we have to, down here, we have to commute everywhere with cars and stuff because the train system connects down here, but not as well as Copenhagen. So I would say definitely if you're a tourist, go to Copenhagen because everything is really well connected.
Oh, yeah, the F-Toll is great.
You don't need cars, you just hop on.
A little confusing, but great.
No, you get everywhere, and we have the metro as well, so you can get everywhere in that one.
A lot of trains for a small country.
Yeah,
which is great.
That works.
I love it. Yeah. We only live one station away too far, so it takes me half an hour on bike to get to the train station to get to Copenhagen. But had we lived in Crewe, then I could just go in whatever. I mean, the trains are great. No, who cares? It's a train, you know? Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to get in your way on the train. There's no delays or...
All right, well, I want to wish the two of you luck in your quest to become American/Danish and be able to come and go freely from both countries.
Yes, thank you guys for having us tonight, and it was really good to share and have a good conversation, and good luck with your endeavors, and I wish you the best with Chloe and your new young family here.
And Basil the cat.
Basil the American cat.
You imported a cat into the country.
You can't leave your family, whether they be feline or human.
I gotta say, though, I have not seen a single cat until tonight in either Iceland, Norway, Sweden, or Denmark.
But they're all outdoor cats, and look at this weather. The outdoor cats are just hiding in wherever they hide. Yeah, that's why.
I just want to end with saying thank you for coming, and it's really cool to have you guys here, and you're more than welcome to come anytime you want. So.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys in the States, too. We'll hide you from the authorities if necessary.
Sure.
You can hide Joachim. Yeah. He can be the dangerous
immigrant from Denmark.
With his liberal ideas, he's going to start promoting death panels or something. Yeah. Yes, but thank you for coming. It was very hoogly.
Yes, very much so.
De små selvstændige, nu skulle de i gang. Tre kendte kun hinanden, det var en skam. Der var 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 selvstændige.
Dana kender selvstændige og ved, at et godt netværk er afgørende for succes. Hos os arbejder vi målrettet på, at vores medlemmer kender og bruger hinanden. Vil du med til næste netværksmøde? Gå ind på dana.dk og bliv en del af de selvstændiges A-kasse. Få en gratis vækstpakke til din virksomhed til en værdi af 3.000 kroner, hvis du tilmelder dig inden den 1. januar.
Nu kan du få alt at vide om julens TV. BT har samlet det hele i en stor tv-guide, der gælder helt frem til 2. januar. TV-guiden koster kun 10 kroner ved samtidig køb af dagens BT. Køb den i dag hos din BT-forhandler. Det er så ærgerligt at misse en god film.
Har du hørt en sang på Nova FM?
Du bare ikke kan få ud af hovedet.
Men er i tvivl om, hvem der har lavet den?
Så finder du svaret på NovaFM.dk.
Ryk dig ind under playlister og find sangen.
Nova FM. Den bedste musik. Her nu.
Klokken var lidt i fem. Sig uh, og jeg gad ikke trække hjem. Sig pludselig så stod hun der. Sig og alle folk kunne se det. Hun var ikke genert, men det var min fejl. Jeg var lidt for længe om at sige nej. Og jeg siger det okay, skat. Men inderst inde er jeg ved at eksplodere. Længes efter dig. Klokken var lidt i fem. Sig vi tog en taxa hjem. Sig hun fød mig i sin vang. Sig men jeg lover dig, der skete virkelig ingenting. Men det var min far. Hjerte ud, tag det med dig overalt. Mit liv er hos dig. Og jeg vil med dig overalt.